For the time that is ours together, I want to preach from this thought, liberated to love, liberated to love. It is fitting that for this third Sunday in Lent, the lectionary takes us to the book of Exodus, which describes the miraculous deliverance of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt and the establishment of a covenant relationship between these former slaves and Yahweh, the God of their deliverance. With this vivid imagery of the burning bush, the parting of the Red Sea, and the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, the Exodus story has been retold and reinterpreted within other biblical texts, as well as in the art, literature, and music of many different cultures. It is also a story that has inspired people to fight against oppression and injustice in various times and places, including African Americans in this country. While the narrative of the Israelites being delivered from Egypt is perhaps the most familiar part of Exodus, the giving of the moral law at Mount Sinai, which is our text, is also central to the book. In fact, there are some scholars who believe that the Ten Commandments, or the Decalogue, is the centerpiece not only of Exodus, but of the entire Hebrew Bible. They argue, I believe correctly, that these 10 laws are not an archaic remnant of a dead past, nor an arbitrary set of laws handed down to people hundreds of generations ago, but rather they are a set of principles about the best way to build a world otherwise where everybody can thrive. Contrary to what many believe, the 10 Commandments are not merely prohibitions against specific acts. They are an imaginative, expansive, and creative treatise on how to get and stay free. After pastoring two churches where I taught a series on these powerful precepts, I discovered how foundational, how revolutionary, and how life-transforming and timeless they really are. Again, they are not just a word for ancient Israel, but they travel the corridors of time and speak to us right now. Listen, they give us insight into the mind and the heart of God, and they outline a standard of social holiness that God demands. For the Hebrew people, they represent a whole new approach to life that called them to adopt an alternative value system to the from the brutalizing system from which they had been liberated. Values such as respecting life, seeking justice, loving one's neighbor, showing compassion for the poor and the stranger, creating an inclusive society, protecting the environment, and pursuing peace. Again, they are an imaginative, expansive, and creative treatise on how to get and remain free. As you know, these 10 liberating laws begin with the identification of the God of Israel who liberated Israel from Egypt. And the words Egypt and Pharaoh are interchangeably used because they both refer to the brutalizing king of Egypt whose concentration of wealth and power were used to enslave, oppress, and destroy the lives of the children of Israel. Walter Brueggemann says it is no coincidence that the text doesn't specify Pharaoh's name, and that is because Pharaoh keeps turning up in our history time after time. In other words, Pharaoh is the right name for every brutalizing system of wealth and power that acts in violence against vulnerable people. The story of Exodus is the powerful acknowledgement of that dehumanizing domain of human history from which we have been set free. At the outset, the Ten Commandments names this emancipatory God in this way. I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord of the Exodus. I am the God who emancipated you, and I am the Lord of new promises. In other words, the logic of the text is this. If you want to stay free, you better stick with the God and the principles that freed you. Okay, I'll never forget a story a friend shared with me. She said when she was in college, she attended a party that was the talk not only of the campus, but also of the town. Listen, it was a big deal shindig across town, and everybody who was somebody at the university, check it out, was going to be there. One of her friends, she said, had a misfortunate encounter with her date. Listen, despite her kind-heartedness of deciding to go to the dance with this guy because he didn't have another date, listen, he had the nerve to ignore her the whole night. Listen, he disrespected her by openly flirting with others and by dancing with almost every woman at the party except her, even parading them in front of her. Listen, not once did he show her any affection, attention, or courtesy, even though she was the one who rescued him from a dateless night. It's now 4 a.m. and the party is over. Ready to leave, he is looking for his date because she was the only one to give him a ride back to the campus. But listen, not surprisingly, insulted and hurt, she had already left the party and she had already headed back. And so now he's stranded on the other side of town without a ride, wondering what in the world he was going to do to make it back to campus. That's when one of her friends walked by and said, "You should have danced with the one who brought you." Come on, I love that. Listen, that's what the first commandment teaches. No, not because God is jealous and petty and leaves us stranded, but you better dance with the one who brought you in this sense. Stick with what got you out of the mess you were in the first place. I think this is what Audre Lorde was trying to warn us against when she said you can't tear down the master's house with the master's tools. Listen, in order to stay free, you need alternative practices and systems from those from which you have been free. God says, "I am the God who set you free. Put me first." Listen, unfortunately, once out of bondage, many of the Israelites returned to the gods of their enslavers. They dusted off the smuggled ornaments of Egypt and surrendered to the pagan practices and customs that they had acquired while in captivity. And as a result, Israel suffered setback after setback, often botching their call as God's chosen people. Listen, we're no different. As long as we go our own way, seduced by the gods of this world, we will always run into roadblocks. The gods of this age might look good, but howsoever, they only lead us to destruction and disappointment. And so in this way, this new covenant at Sinai is a warning to the people of Israel that if you do not keep these commandments, you will be back in the grip of Pharaoh and back in the grip of his insatiable and ungodly demands. Listen, if you've been freed from the totalizing logic of the American work ethic that says you shall work until you drop and that celebrates the grind in ways that destroys mind, body, and soul, along with the faulty idea that money is meaning, silver is sanity, and gold is God, then these principles are strategies to keep you free from that gripping mindset. Listen, if you've been freed from ideologies and systems that are homophobic and transphobic and do violence to our LGBTQ siblings, then these principles are strategies to keep you free from those harmful ways of thinking. If you've been delivered from systems of patriarchy that elevate men over everybody else, then these principles are strategies to keep you from reverting back to a way of life that privileges heteronormative patriarchy. Come on now. If you've been delivered from the ideology of white supremacy, ethnocentrism, and racism, then these principles are strategies to practice equity and fairness and to keep yourself free. So listen, in this way, I believe the true meaning of the Ten Commandments is that we have been liberated to love. Listen, to love God, to love our neighbors, and to love ourselves. And this is an important message for Lent because Lent involves a process of moving our lives into new zones of reality. It involves recognizing the ways in which we have accepted Pharaoh's domain as normal. And it involves escaping the brutalizing and exhaustive ways of the world and accepting God's alternative vision for our lives. When Jesus called his first disciples and said, "Follow me," he was inviting them to follow an alternative lifestyle that wasn't preoccupied with fear, work on demand, exhaustion, or trying to keep up with the Joneses. Listen, it's about love. Listen, in a way, the Ten Commandments can be summed up by the first commandment, which tells us to put God first. The question is, what does it mean to put God first? I'm glad you asked. Listen, to put God first is to love God and to keep God's commandments. Listen, scripture tells us that God is love, and God's commandments demonstrate for us what it means to love God and others. First, loving God as expressed in the first four commandments and loving our neighbor as expressed in the last six commandments teach us to treat our neighbors as ourselves and hold them in the highest esteem. Listen, you're not able to lie to them. You're not able to steal from them, cheat them, fool around with their spouses, kill them, or covet what they have by violating them because of greed. And it all comes back to the first commandment because, check it out, loving God means placing God's vision of justice and God's desires above our own. Come on now, the love that God wants from us is agapeo, which is the verb form of agape. Listen, this is not a warm and fuzzy feeling. Rather, this is a type of love that is defined by an unyielding commitment to God. Listen, the reason the first commandment is usually broken is because we think putting God first means loving God in an emotional way. But to really love God means doing what God says. Listen, putting God first means seeing the world as God sees it. It means adopting the values of God. It means placing the teachings of God above the wisdom of the world. And listen, that's what we have in our 1 Corinthians text. Listen, 1 Corinthians 1 and 20 says, "Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" In other words, as verse 26 says, God's foolishness is wiser than the world's wisdom. Listen, the world says, anyone who does anything to you, you are right to get even with them. But the Bible says, bless those who curse you and do good to those who hate you. Listen, to the world, that's foolishness. The world said, get all you can by any means necessary. But the Bible says, put the needs of others above your own. And to the world, that's foolishness. The world says, only the strong shall survive. But the Bible says, the meek shall inherit the earth. Again, to the world, that's foolishness. But that's what God calls us to do. In other words, Lent is a time for righteous foolishness. Let me say it again. I say Lent is a time for righteous foolishness, the kind of foolishness that believes everybody deserves a decent education, housing, clothing, food, and health care, even if they don't go to college, and even if they aren't willing to work their fingers to the bone. Listen, love means seeing people as God sees them. Listen, it means honoring the things that God honors. It means using our material resources, our time, and our talents to advance God's kingdom. Listen, nothing else will do. Listen, I will end with this. I love Isaiah 54 and 10, which says this: though the mountains be shaken and the hills removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken. I love that. Though my love for you, my unfailing love for you will not be shaken. Listen, the Hebrew word translated as love in this verse, and I'm going to use the English pronunciation, is hesed. According to scholars, hesed is a completely undeserved kindness and generosity. Hesed is more than just a feeling. It's an action. Or more accurately, hesed is a series of actions that define and underline a relationship. Listen, hesed intervenes on behalf of loved ones and come to their rescues. Again, while we often think of love as a romantic feeling, Hesed is more than that. Listen, Hesed is faithful. It's reliable. It's loyal. It's generous. It's rooted in justice. Hesed is just economics. Hesed is universal health care. Hesed is criminal justice reform. Hesed is gay rights and protections for our trans neighbors. Hesed is seeing the world through the eyes of God. Hesed is the Ten Commandments put in action. Come on now. During this season of Lent, let us hesed well. Amen.